You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The torrent of death threats apparently made an impression on the Washtenaw County jury, because on Tuesday, that jury convicted Kevin Beverly of felonies for extorting and intimidating his ex-wife, Nicole. We first sat down here with Nicole Beverly last summer and heard her story of years of terrifying abuse, stalking, and death threats from her ex, Kevin, including threats made while he was in prison serving a 5-year sentence on a 2012 conviction for stalking Nicole. Nicole Beverly is here with us now. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What was that moment like for you Tuesday in Washtenaw County Court? You heard the word guilty.
It was actually pretty surreal. We had waited from about 9:15 till about 2:15 for the jury to deliberate and make their decision. And so when they came out and actually heard those words, it was very emotional and surreal that finally, you know, after all this time and all this energy that we've been putting into this, that they found him guilty.
And I know he'll be sentenced May 15th, and witness intimidation is a 15-year felony, extortion a 20-year felony. And last year, you and I talked as Kevin was about to be paroled, and you were thinking you were going to have to move right out of Michigan, pull your sons out of school, and uproot them. What does this week's conviction mean for you?
What will really make the difference is what happens at sentencing, because that's going to give us a timeline of how much time we truly have before he's going to be released. We obviously know this is not going to be a life conviction. So whatever the sentence is going to be, it's going to be a temporary sense of relief for us. But hopefully my goal is for it to be enough time for my youngest son to graduate from high school. And then for myself, of course, to relocate and basically disappear so that he's not able to find me once he is released.
And he's not out of legal trouble, right? I want to see if we've got this all straight. So he pleaded guilty last month to a witness retaliation charge in Wayne County, and he's going to stand trial next month in Jackson County, where he faces 4 felony counts of witness retaliation as a habitual offender. And Luce County is still investigating this accusation that he tried to get another inmate to kill you and your sons. Do I have that all right? Am I missing anything?
That is correct. And initially, he had agreed to take a plea, which would incorporate all of those cases. But at the last minute, last Friday, he withdrew that plea, which is why we ended up going to trial on Monday.
You have become a very important face to everyone in Michigan in sharing this story, the face of what it means to live with domestic abuse. And you've got some extremely valuable perspectives, having lived with this for years. So let's talk for a while about what Michigan can do in doing a better job of protecting survivors like you from an abusive, threatening partner or ex. You talk about the home address confidentiality. How would this have helped you?
So the address confidentiality program for me specifically would have prevented him from being able to get my address from the utility company, which is what he did when I first left. It would also protect voter registration, because it's so easy now to look up someone by their voter registration information. And I know Michigan's looking a step further at the internet and ways of cyber stalking, because at this point in time, it's so easy to find someone that way. They're looking to not just cover the paper trail, but also the cyber trail of people and how to best do that, which is wonderful. But without those protections in place, it is so, so easy to find someone.
What would it take to get this in Michigan?
So at this point, a bill was brought forward by Senator O'Brien. And my understanding is the bill's still being investigated, for lack of a better word, and the decisions being made as to what needs to happen to that bill for it to move forward to the next level.
You also talk about the need to educate high school students on issues of domestic violence. As you interacted with police and sheriff's deputies and prosecutors and judges and prison officials across the board, how well do you think these professionals understood the dynamics of domestic violence?
I don't think they understand it well enough at all. And I think that, you know, for me, is one of the big pushes for education in high school, because not only are we teaching these students the red flags for themselves for dating, we're then also educating these students who are going to grow up to be our law enforcement, our teachers, our doctors, our judges, our police officers, so that they do have a better understanding of domestic violence. And everything else we do is putting a Band-Aid on it once it happens. But if we can prevent it from happening at all, it's our best chance of ending this epidemic.
And you also talk about the need for police officers to conduct lethality assessments right there at the scene. So how can police in Michigan do a better job of determining how much danger a woman's in?
What's happening in other states, and I believe two or three counties in Michigan right now, is they are, whenever there's a domestic violence call, they're automatically doing a lethality assessment, which basically consists of a series of questions. Some are 8, some are 10, establishing history. Have you ever been choked? Is there history of domestic violence? Have you been threatened? Is substance abuse a problem? You're looking at what are the risk factors and how much risk the victim is in at that moment, so that the police officer can maybe make a more objective decision. And then the prosecutor, when they're deciding whether or not charges are going to be filed, and then even the judge when they're determining bail. So that assessment could go with that victim through all of those phases. Another benefit of this assessment is sometimes victims answering these questions themselves is very eye-opening, because then they're realizing, wow, I didn't think about this before. I really am at risk, and I need to get out of this relationship before I'm killed.
Now, how does that happen? How would we see that happen in Michigan?
So basically, we're in talks right now with Sheriff Clayton for Washtenaw County. There's a meeting coming up to see if we can at least get it started in our county. I would love to see it statewide. Some of the other states that are utilizing it are seeing reduction in domestic violence homicides. So it would be a wonderful thing, and to see our sheriffs doing it. As you know, when I spoke before, I had some not so great experiences with some of the police officers that responded to my domestic violence calls. And I also had many instances where the police did respond, but then the prosecutors denied charges. And had those lethality assessments gone along with them, perhaps those things would have been avoided.
Nicole, what is your call to everyone who heard you talk about your story? You've talked to the Free Press. You were very open talking to us here in Stateside. What's your call to everyone who was moved by what you've been through?
My call would be basically to try and get a better understanding of how to help domestic violence victims and survivors in our state. We still have a lot of work to do. I know many, many victims who still are not getting the responses statewide when they reach out for help. There's still a lot of victim blaming. I see it on the threads about my articles. I'll read lots of victim blaming comments about, I deserved it if I stayed. So I think educating other people, if you hear people making these comments, stop them, educate them on domestic violence. I always say, I never in a million years thought this was going to happen to me. If you had told me as a senior in high school, I never would have believed you. And I think everyone feels that way. But you need to try to have a better understanding of how it happens, the cycle, the manipulation that occurs for someone to become a victim, and then to have some empathy and sympathy and help them rather than judging, because that's another reason that victims stay in these relationships, because of the shame and guilt that they carry with them be based on how society judges them.
Nicole Beverly, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you so much.